Today marks the gvura of my uncle, Zichrono Levracha, who was nifter yesterday. Sarva gadol nafal hayom, a great giant fell. My uncle was very close to me, and he only showed me great chesed. He was a man of chesed and musa. But he was, there were a couple of points I would like to mention about him. That one is his mind, his clarity of thought. He put in a lot of work into simple things, like to speak to Balabatim and to give proper drushes. But in his drushes, there was gainus. There was genius in his drushes. It was hard for people to see because it wasn't the type of thing they were looking for. But the simplicity of his drushes, in his simplicity, was a gainus. He would bring it down to every person's level. Like, for instance, he said, how could a Kadosh Baruch Hu take Moshe Rabbeinu to the mountain and say, Sona einecha yama v'tzafona v'einecha yama v'tema v'tzafona v'negba rei v'einecha v'kisham lo savor. So he brought it down to a practical muscle. He said, that would be like a doctor telling a patient, see this apple pie, you can't have this. See this food, you can't have this. See this delicious food, you can't have this. That would be mean for the doctor to say that. So how could a Kadosh Baruch Hu take Moshe Rabbeinu and tell him and show him specifically where he cannot go? Isn't this being mitzayer him? This was the type of question that he would ask, a simple, clear question. And his answer was simple also. His answer was, do you think that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Klal Yisrael, wanted the Eretz Yisrael for himself? He wanted it for Klal Yisrael. So he had the greatest simcha in seeing what Klal Yisrael was going to receive. Just an example of his clarity of thought, the beauty of the clarity straight from the psukim, without any complicated drushes. He was able to bring it down to the simple person. But to do such a thing takes gainus. It's not something that can be done simply. And he spent hours and hours working on it. He had tremendous mesiras nefesh. Mesiras nefesh for his balabatim, for his job as a rav, and also for chesed. Unbelievable mesiras nefesh for chesed. He went more than out of his way. If there was one chasaran I think he had, it was that he was mosa nefesh too much for chesed. The slightest nuance of chesed was something that we would run after, and many times at the expense of his own health. He was an individual of chachma and musa, and a person who was really the last pasuk that we read that the Rambam quotes. The Rambam quotes in the end of the Mora, where the Navi says that Ma Hashem Lekecha Kim Bezos Yisal HaMasal. Kim Bezos Yisal HaMasal Al Yisal Kama Hashem Al Yisal Chacham B'Chachmasa Al Yisal Giber B'Gvoreso Al Yisal Lashter B'Ashra Al Kim Bezos Yisal HaMasal Haskel V'Yodea Osi Ki ani ad Hashem osa chesed mishpot and stoka baretz ki veilo chafatz didum Hashem. So the Rambam says it's not enough to say that he haskel v'yadoa asi. The fact that the person knows the Ribbono Shel Olam is not enough, but he must know ki ani Hashem osa chesed mishpot and stoka baretz. And his yedias Hashem must be tied to mishpot, stoka, and chesed. And that was really my uncle. He was tied to doing mishpot, chesed, and stoka. And with a mesiras nefesh that I've never seen in any person. He was tocho kabaro, and he was a person that was given over to Torah, to chachma, and to musa b'derech chachma. He lived his life that way, and he was mosa nefesh, as I said before, to the point of endangering his own health. The only thing I could say is that, like David HaMelech said, na'amta li ma'od, you were very dear to me, and the dearness will go on, and people like that, tzaddikim like that, Avapishayim, Mason, the Kroim Chayim, and Ahavim, and Ahimim, and Ahimim, and Bechayayim, and Mosam, and Afradu, Yehei Zichro Varuch. There's one more thing I want to mention, and I was remiss in not mentioning it before, and that is that really our yeshiva owes a great debt to him, because he was really the one that founded, helped found the yeshiva. Because he started, I don't know if any of you still remember, in young Israel, he started a group on Shabbos, on Shabbos and on during the weekdays, where some of the first Talmidim of the yeshiva came. And then afterwards, he was instrumental in getting me into Highlight to teach Talmidim, and that was really the foundation of the yeshiva. So really, the whole yeshiva was built from his efforts. And we have to remember that, and we have to mark it tov. And Lynette, we have to think about something to do. It's a hard blow for me, a hard blow for people that knew him, that knew his chesed, his nature, his avos Yisrael. Wonderful, wonderful midos. And it was an unav to the point of almost shuffle. And those who really knew him recognized that they were in the presence of a great man. Yehi zichro v'aruch. Before I start the kinnis, I'd like to do. Somebody asked me, Rabbi Ball asked me, the kinnis really starts with the haftorahs. So the first haftorah, really is chazon, that we say on last Shabbos. So Rabbi Ball was asking me, what is the order of the Navi. So I brought along a. So let's try to figure it out. Work on it together. The problem is like this. The problem is, it seems there's three parts. Chazon Yeshayov and Amos Hashachos al Yudah Virshloim. Bimeu Zio Yosa Machos Yechizkiel Malcha Yudah. Shimu Shamayim Vazini Arts, Yeshayo Aleph. Ki Hashem Diber. Panim Gidalti Veramamti Vahim Pashubi. Okay. Vahim Pashubi. Yoda Ashur Kadayeva Hamoev Uspolo, Yisrael La Yoda Milo Hezbonon. So he says, so the Tirgum says, Yidah Torah Zavnei, an ox knows his owner, Vahamora Uriya de Maroi. And the Chamorah knows the feeding place of his Bilam. Yisrael lo Aleph lemeda. Dachalti lo estakel lemesav lo raisi. So the criticism is that they didn't listen to the Torah, they didn't turn to Chachma. Hoi goi chote am kevet avon zerem aram banam ashrisim ozvus Hashem ni yetzu es kedosh Yisrael nazar roacho. So it's interesting. What's interesting, ozvus Hashem means is not necessarily is not yet avodah zarah. It's just azivas Hashem. Then he goes on and gives them Musa. Amesuku otzo sifu sara korosh lachali v'cholev of davoy. Bikafrego v'adrosh ein bo mesom. There's no tmimus petz v'chabur makatria. Bozover lo chabash lo chab Hashemen. Aretzachem shemamo arechem srufos esh. Ad maschem l'negdechem zarem ochlem oso. Shemamo k'mapech zarem. And also, and he shows the tragedy that befalls the Kol Yisrael because they leave the Chachmas Hashem. Okay? The notes are Basion Kesukah Bacharim. So Basion, that's Kol Yisrael, is like a Sukah Bacharim, alone. Kimluno v'miksha ki'ir Netzura, like a city under siege. Lule Hashem Tzvakos Hosulon Asorit Kimot, Kizdom Wayinu Lamar Damino. If it wouldn't be the Kodesh Baruch Hu through Nisan, made sure that a little bit is left over, we would be totally destroyed. Shimudvar Hashem Kesine Sedom. Hazinu Taras Elokeinu Amamora. Lomali Rav Zivchechem Yomar Hashem. Why don't I need all these kabonas? Savati Olos Eilum Echel of Miriam. Vidam Par Mechvasim Vatudim Lo Chafatzti. I didn't care for all these fat kabonas. Kisavo Leros Ponoi. When you come to visit me, to see my Shrina, Mivike Shos Mietchem. Who wanted this, Ramos Chatzero? Who wanted you to trample in my chatzer? Lo sosifu avim min chashov, k'taras to evo ili, chodesh shabbos mikro mikro, baruch halav vatzor. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't tolerate the combination of oven and atzor. The combination of oven and atzor means the ambivalence. On the one hand is oven, on the other hand is supposed to be a holiday. Okay? Chodshechem u'moadechem sonon nafshi ho'yol al ha'torach. So on the contrary, the chodoshim and the moadim became something of hatred. And when you do good birchas kahanim, I turn my eyes away. Gam kisabu svila, even when you marben tefila, neni shomea. Why? Because your dechem dama mileo, because your hands are full of dam. So the contradiction is intolerable. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, rachatzu izaku, asiru roma alechem yineged enoi, chidlu areya, do tshuva. Limdu heitev, dishu mishpat, ashu chamotz. Straighten out the crookedness. Shiftu yasom riva amana. Lechuno v'divacha yama Hashem, yimiyuchatechem kashonim kashel yabinu, yadimu chatola katsam yiyu. Yimtovu vishmatam tuvar estachelu, v'intamanu v'marisam cherev tukum kipi Hashem dever. Diber. So it would seem that it would be enough to stop over there. That if you do tshuva, so then that's it. He listed the chait. And he listed the situation and the state that resulted from the chet. Then he says, "In tovushmatam tovaris tochelo, in tamanu murisem. And if you rebel, cherif toklu. So then there'll be a bad result. Kipi Hashem diber. But then he starts off again. Echoi solazona kiryan amona. It seems like he's going repeating himself. Mileasi mishpat." It was filled with justice. Tzedek Yolan Ba. Originally there was Tzedek there. Ba'at Amaratzim, and now there are murderers. Kaspei Choyalasigim, Savech Morbamoyim. So your money is diluted, it's phony. Sarayach Sorim, V'chaver Ganovim. They're all Ganovim. Kulo Oev Shocha, they all love Shocha, V'rodev Shalmonim. And they run after presents. After payoffs, yasom lo yishpotu, they're not interested in the judgment of an orphan. The riv almana lo yov aleihem, and the argument of an almana, the tain of almana, they'll never receive, because they're not interested, because it doesn't pay them off, and there's no benefit in it, and therefore they don't care about it. then there's the nevuah, lachein amar don Hashem tzvakos avi Yisrael, hoy anochem mitzoray v'nokma me'oyvoy. Vashiva yodi alayach, vetsov kabor sigoyach, vasiva kolbdi loyach. Vashiva shoftach, vashon yatsayach, vatrilach, vachin yikori lochir atzedek, kiyan amona. Tsiyom mishpatiboda, the shovel bitzdaka. That's the end of the haftar. So the question is, how do you organize haftar? What is there? Is it just musa, divin musa? Or is there some sort of order here that the Navi is describing, and the Navi is painting a picture here? So, how do we go about to discover this? So I think the first thing we have to do is to find out what the criticism is. What is the first criticism? What is the very first criticism? The very first criticism is mentioned by the Tirgum. Yod Asher Kameyo Kanev Achmovus Balav Yisrael Lo Yada Amilo Isbonon Lo Alaf Lemida Dachalti. They didn't learn the Torah, they didn't learn knowledge, they didn't gain any understanding of the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they were Ozev HaSashem. They were Ozev HaSashem. Not Avodah Zarah. Not yet Avodah Zarah. Ozev HaSashem. So what comes after Ozev HaSashem? So then he explains that because they were Ozev HaSashem, so they went in the derech without chachma, and what befell them? And what befell them? Okay, but then the Navi comes back with something unusual. Something unusual. What's the next point? What is the next point? The next point is Lama li rov zivchecham yom ha'ashem. Savati olo selam v'chelam miriam. That why do I need these vachem? why do I need these karbonas? I have no need for them. I'm full of them. I have no need for the Bias Migdosh, Ramos Chatzeroy. I have no need for Menachas Yov. No need for Yitzvilos. No need for anything, basically. All the Avodas Hashem, Avodas Shabalev, Avodas Shabmigdash. So God said he has no need for it. Why? As a matter of fact, not only does he have no need for it, it's despicable to him, because it's disingenuous. Because on the one hand, you're bringing Avodah. On the other hand, you're Dechem Damim Mileo. So the contradiction is intolerable. The contradiction is intolerable. So what does that point to? I think that points to something. What do we have to analyze?
Does it have the knowledge that we're being understood?
A what? Yeah, but there's something more than that, because that's the first complaint. First complaint is that there's Azivas Hashem. Azivas Hashem entails a lot of things. You don't know, it involves a lot of things. You don't know Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't know why God acts a certain way, you have no idea. You go off on the wrong track, you leave Hashem, you go on your own. That's Azivas Hashem. And because of that, you use inferior forms of reasoning, and the natural result is catastrophe. So that's the first part. That's the first part. But what is the second part? This complaint. The complaint. Lama li rav zevchecha. It's not really Avodah Zarah. As a matter of fact, the one case he mentions is Yedechem Domim Mileo. He doesn't mention Avodah Zarah. He mentions injustice. And the last part, what would you say is the last part? Eicha Yisol Zona. Kira Nemona. What is the criticism there? It's not Avodah Zarah. Meleasi Mishpat. I was filled with Mishpat. Tzedek Yolon Ba. Originally Tzedek was there for Atam Maratzchem, and now they're murderers. And Kaspe Choyel Asigim means that they were cheating. The silver wasn't pure, and they sold it as pure silver. Soveich, the Yayin is Mol Bamoyim, diluted. So they were cheating. They weren't honest businessmen. Tzedek Mishpat. Sarayach Sorim, the Chavrei Ganovim. The heads are twisted, and they're Chavrei Ganovim. Kula Oyev Shelcha. They all love briberies. The road they shall mourn him, and they run after payoffs. Yosom Yoloishpotu, they're not interested in the case of a Yosom. That can't bring them any glory. That's just going to be a waste of time for them. Riv Almona lo yavoleh, and a poor Almona that has no status, they're not interested in taking that case. So they simply don't take the case. So what is this last part? The Eicha Hoysel Azono is what? Is essentially justice. Justice. That's really what it is, justice. So I was thinking about it, and if you think about it, it is really a continuity. First part is that the Ozvos Hashem, they leave the Chachmas Hashem. Not Avodah Zarah. Of course, every time you leave Hashem, you're going towards Avodah Zarah. But the essential thing is the Azivas Hashem. So the Azivas Hashem means you leave the Chachmas Hashem. And then certain tragedies occur because of that. But then they keep on going on their corrupt way. But that wouldn't be so bad if they just stuck to their corrupt way. Because why did they bring the Karbonis? And why did they bring the Tfilas? And why did they come to the Migdash? That's what God asks them. I don't need that. So why do they do that? The answer is, they do that for themselves, to cover up and to present themselves as people who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. So the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, all the tefillos with kavana, and all the kavanos, and the kiyum and migdash, everything they're doing for just one reason, just to fool themselves, to render themselves as Ovdei Hashem. And because of that, the whole Avodah becomes not an Avodah Hashem, but an Avodah La'atzmo. An Avodah La'atzmo. And once the Avodah is Avodah La'atzmo, then there's corruption and there can't be any justice. That's one. That's the third part. So it's a direct line of thought. It's a very deep line of thought. It means that if a person's religiosity is just for his own conscience, and that's the purpose of his religiosity, no matter how many tefillos he says, no matter what he does, no matter how much he gives to the Mikdash, no matter how much avodas Hashem he's involved in, if it's simply to make himself feel good about himself and to deny so that he doesn't see his chesronos, so then all it does is serves to be self-serving. And once he's self-serving, justice is impossible. Because justice is universal. Justice is universal. And personal personal gain is an individual. Basically, that's the message of the Navi. That one thing leads to another. Azivas Hashem leads to a certain sense that is intolerable, because it can't be Azivas Hashem. So instead of that's why the end is L'chein Umodon Hashem Tzvokas Avir Yisrael Hoyanochem Yatsarari Vinokma Me'oivoy Vashiv Yedi Aleich Vetzav Kabor Sigoyach Vasir Kol B'dilayach Vashiv Yishavtayach Kvar Rishonu V'yotzayach Kvar Tchila Achrei Chein Yikori Loch Yiratzere Kiri Anamona Tzion B'mishpat Tipode V'shaveo B'tzdaka. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. Pasuk, he hears one thing, v'inokma me'ayvoy, because the oivim maintain it. You see, once the person goes off the derech, and then the sad situation follows that the oivim impose on us, so then he takes recourse to his own methods. Instead of returning to Hashem, he tries his own methods. His own methods are not good methods. They take him further away and more corruption in order to get out of it. But then the guilt sets in, so therefore he has to come to the Mikdash with Kabbonis, with beautiful Kabbonis and with Tfilis, and to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Aliyas Arego, Ramos Chatzei Roy. But that makes him even worse, because then that very action itself becomes self-serving. And once that action itself becomes self-serving, so his whole objective becomes the self. Once the objective becomes the self, both materially and in terms of mitzvahs, so then he has to be unjust. It's not possible. But the nechama is the nokma me'ovai, that in order for Klal Yisrael to come back, God will avenge his enemies. And once the enemies are avenged, then they'll be able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dan the Olam, and that will cause them to return to him. Okay. Yes. Excuse me? Yes. That's right. They were doing it to appease God. That's correct. But that's the same thing. To appease God means I'm good. It's the same emotion. It's the same emotion. I'm willing to bring the gabonis. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm a good person. But in that is carried the idea they're doing it for God. In other words, that he, to bribe him, so to speak, to bribe him. Yeah.
Zanach Hashem Mizbucho Nia Mikdasha. So the Medrash says that, you didn't do any of your, you didn't anger me only except for the Karbanos that you relied on. That's why the Karbanos got thrown back in 5:6. Because Zanach Mizbucho, he rejected it.
He rejected it.
Right, so it's the same idea. You really relied on the Karbanos to be Koto.
Right.
That's why that's what the Onesh was the destruction of the Karbanos of the Mikdash.
Makes sense. Same idea. Yes.
If every man-made system is self-serving, how do you have justice in the world?
If every man-made system is
to have to be
just people, so we mean that's a sort of people.
You mean that laissez-faire, that the justice comes out of each person fighting for himself and regulating the regulating each person? Is that what you're saying? Not if the man-made system is based on justice, on the love of justice.
But the person who's going to be in power is going to be self-serving, isn't it?
How do you know? Maybe not. Maybe it'll be like Avramavinu. Avramavinu was did it because of the love of mankind. That's what motivated him. So there is such a thing as a person who has an objective love of mankind and can do something because of avas chesed. Recognizes that he recognizes the Bria, and he recognizes the Bria is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Avas Hashem for.
And he didn't leave God.
What?
And he didn't leave God.
Then what?
He didn't leave God.
That's right. He didn't leave God. But that's Mishpat. But what's your question? Well, maybe I don't understand your question. Well, if it doesn't have God, you're asking, can you have a system of justice without God? You mean your question? You mean why can't you? Your question is why can't you? The avas abrios has to be based on something. It has to be based on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man with such a unique ability that he could understand Chachmas Hashem. So the avas abrios has to come about through an extension of avas Hashem. Otherwise, why should I have avas abrios? It's just. Once you leave Hashem, there's no reason for Avas Abrios.
And then
the
power is only because of self-servingness, so it'll be non-just.
Right. That's correct. I mean, Avraham Avinu had Avas Abrios, but first he had Avas Hashem. If I'm not mistaken, that's the order the Rambam has it. First he was Mavchan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then, in order to save the Brios, he taught them the ideas. So, Kem Mishpat Lelekimu, without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no reason for Avas Abrios. A person can have an emotion of Avas Abrios, but emotions are very unstable. One day he likes them, next day he doesn't like them. One day he can say people are great, the other day he can say people are horrible. And there's certainly more instances for the latter. But if you talk about the intrinsic element in man, which is capable of perceiving Chachmas Hashem, and the Avas Abrios is based on that, that's immutable. That's immutable. Because even the worst Russia has that ability. That's the Gemara in Gittin with Nebuzaradan. After he killed out all those millions of people, he was Chazer B'Tshuva. He was Chazer B'Tshuva. So that's the Tzelem Elokim. That's the Tzelem Elokim. So the Avas Abrios has to be based on something. But that's correct, and that it follows directly, that once it's Ozvos Hashem, so then it's there's no basis for Mishpat. But then the only relationship to God becomes one of self-serving, to appease God, to make sure you're good in the eyes of God and good in the eyes of yourself, to fool yourself, self-serving. So the Navi declares that self-serving mitzvahs are worthless, absolutely worthless. It's an amazing thing, and it's an amazing statement. question in Kireski is saying, why don't we say Mitoch Shavuot Lishma Bolishma? Because the Navi really is saying, don't come. God is saying, don't come to the Mikdash anymore. Stop coming. Be over. Be over the other Erev. Not come. No Aliyah Sarev. Don't be Mispal. Stop being Mispal. Stop being Gavonis. Be over the other Erev. Hi, how can you do that? I mean, that's what the Navi says, basically. He says, don't do it. Stop it. I can't tolerate it, God says. I can't tolerate the ambivalence, the conflict. So why don't we say no? So the Navi is really giving Klal Yisrael a license to violate mitzvahs. To violate mitzvahs. And on the contrary, doing mitzvahs are worse. Yes? Right. In other words, you don't say Mitoch Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma, where the Shelo Lishma is furthering a wickedness in the person. It's furthering, promoting a wicked emotion in the individual. There you don't say Mitoch Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. On the contrary, it's driving him in a certain direction, and in an evil direction. Mitoch Shelo Lishma means where it's neutral. It's not in a harmful way. This is a deceit. This is a deceit. But what is really Mitoch Shelo Lishma? What's the case? It's an interesting thing. What? Rashi says. What is Lo Lishma? Kidei Shehei Nikra Rav. That he should be a respectable person. So why don't I say over there also the same thing? What's the difference? Not today. You have to have knowledge, okay. I mean, descriptively, maybe we should define a little better, but you're right. In other words, that if he's going to be Nikra Rav, so that means that Nikra Rav is a genuine institution. Because the person is a respectable person, he deserves cover. So there is a reality to it. So there, we say that Mitoch Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma, because he's into some kind of reality. It's true that it's egocentric, that he does gain some satisfaction out of it, but it's a certain reality which is true. He deserves it. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he deserves his covet. He's entitled to covet. It's not the best reason to learn, but it's not something distorted. But over here, where the person brings Karbonis to cover up his evil, that is not Lo Lishma. That is a distorted idea. There's no basis for such an idea in Yadus. So if it's an idea where he's not on the highest level, but at least the idea has a value, so then he can think to himself, look, I get covered for this, so this has value. So then he's attracted to the value itself. So that's Mitoch Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. But if it's a twisted idea, so then on the contrary, then he shouldn't do it. I mean, the Navi says not to do it. It's an amazing Navi. Don't daven. Davening's worse. That's why you say today, Sasam Tilasi. You don't say Kaddish to Skull. So you have to be careful in the Lo Lishma. That the Lo Lishma has to be based on some kind of a reality. It's true he's getting a benefit out of it, but at least there's a reality which can turn him towards a higher go. But where it's twisted and perverted, then it doesn't work, because then he's following a course which is disastrous. In other words, he's following a course which is leading him further and further away from reality, away from God. That's what we have to say.
It's comparing their shouting and when they destroyed the Mikdash to like our celebrating in the Chagim. So it's like this purely a superficial comparison. Like it looks like it sounds the same sound, but it's a completely different phenomenon. It's like Zon Hashem Mizbecho, it's like green karbanos. It might look like a green karbanos, but it's a completely different phenomenon underlying it from real karbanos. There's like a true idea, there's a false idea. Even though they might look the same superficially, it's an entirely different phenomenon.
Which pasuk are you talking about? Zonach Hashem Mizbecho Niyah Mikdasha Hiski B'yadai Chomos Amanasa Kol Nos Nuvayis Hashem Ki Yom Moed. So what does Chazal say? I don't have a rashi.
They say that
the Kashbrach
says to Chai Yisrael, you only provoked me because you relied on your karbanos.
You provoked me?
Do you have the article on the bottom there?
Yeah.
So they quoted the Kliffi Medrash. Totally
awesome. Really? What's going on with Pasuk 7? So what is the matter saying? I want you to know, I mean, the Musar of the Navi is very profound and very true. And it's not just in those days, but it's today also, that people use Yahadus, Tfilah, and Mitzvahs as a means for personal advance. So then the whole thing is eventually going to be torn apart. Eventually will lead to nowhere, because it leads to injustice, and then therefore it leads to destruction. And there's a very fine line between those two things, because in the person's mind he thinks he's really serving Hashem. He's suffering, he's fasting, he's serving Hashem, he's davening. But if the truth is that it's only to secure himself, and it has nothing to do with real avoda, so, and to cover up for his own chatoyim, so, and to appease God, so to speak, in his mind, then the whole thing is worthless. But that is definitely a theme, which is a deep theme, a deep idea, and one which is prevalent in every society, in every generation.
Right.
Yeah. They were the second way.
Second.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting, because it seems like those people are worse, actually, to some degree, than the first way.
In a sense, they are, because they're really deluding themselves. I mean, the first way you presented was that they simply abandoned God.
Humanism is this idea of this humankind and less
Right, you mean they're better than this?
Oh, they're a lot better than that.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Let's put it this way, it doesn't seem to lend itself to lead to that same type of corruption.
Right.
Because you can catch them a lot easier because they're overt about what they're saying.
Right, I mean they're trying to find
Yeah. I mean they see that the way is not a self respecting thing.
Right. Even though they have no proof of that, but
complete relativism.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. It's weak structurally, logically. But you're right, they are superior. At least they're not, they're looking for something. They may not have found it, but at least they're looking for something with a certain amount of honesty. Right. Right. The closest to the natural, it's an amazing thing. The ones that were closest to the true Amunah, even though they didn't have it exactly, but on their own, were the founding fathers, the deists. Because they believed in God, and because of that belief, they believed in the wonders of God and mankind, and they had that basis. Even though they didn't believe in any formal religion, but they happened to be very close to the on their own.
Yeah, it wasn't they actually that move was they rejected the formal religion.
Right.
The formal religion they were exposed to.
That's true.
Those corrupt forms of the religion.
That's correct.
So that was the logical move.
That's correct. But they didn't deny God. So, and you see, they were matzliach. Okay. All right, so what is the Medrash showing me? Yeah, I see. As though it was a festival, i.e., the heathens clamored joyously at the destruction of the temple, matching the fervor of Israel's joyous chants on its holidays. Yeah, what does it mean? The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Israel, "Do you provoke me because you rely on the sacrifices which you offer me? Here, have them. They are thrown in your face. They're worthless." They also have. I mean, the fervor is equal. They're both destructive. They're both fervor of destruction. That's good. That's good. They're both fervor of destruction. Even though one sounds so religious and from and religious, but nevertheless, it's just as destructive because it's distorted. Because it's distorted, it's a sham. There's no truth to it. Okay. That's interesting, but you see how the Navi follows a very deep idea. The Chazon. Very deep concept.
What's the comparison with the other Shaykhana Hamura plus Bala? Isn't that one of the opposite, isn't it? Questions saying you should have been. Realize
where you're getting, who you come from, and who sustaining you in a sense, for your own benefit, like the shore knows that because of its own benefit. So is it criticizing Christ, not even realizing it's in their own best interest? No, that's correct, but I think it's showing something else also, that a shore doesn't mind being subservient to his master and recognizing his master's giving him food, but a person is different. Person wants to be on his own. He doesn't want to feel he's dependent. So therefore, his chachma is blinded, and he can't recognize. Recognizing God is a downer for him because he wants to feel kochi v'otzum yadi. So that's why he's saying that a shore by nature has a has a better nature towards truth than an Adam. Because Adam, my nature, is the opposite. He can't stand being in a subdued, submissive position, recognition of God. So he grapples with that, and he denies Chachma. So he's worse than an ox.
It's not a tremendous intellectual idea of where your substance comes from.
Right, it's not
your... Emotion reminds you like a shark
intellect. Right, and you can know from your history, from Klal Yisrael, from the Mon, all the things in the Midbar. But you turn away from it. It's interesting, it says, Yisrael lo yada, they didn't know, Amilo hisbonon. Two stages. Lo yada means they don't want to look at the knowledge, the obvious knowledge. And lo hisbono means they didn't look into the details of Chesed Hashem. That's a further step.
What are the two things?
One thing is to simply turn away from Chesed Hashem. And the second thing is to look into the details. Like Moshe Rabbeinu says in Devarim, all the details, to be mizbonin in the details of the sustenance. So that's a further step. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, today's Haftarah, by the way, also has to do with the Benar Machavera. The Navi really has two themes, Avodah Zarah and Mishpat. Those are the themes of the Navi. And in today's Haftarah, it goes more into Avodah Zarah. Because it mentions Echisuni b'fsilei and Bavli Nechar. But then it goes back into Ben Lachaver. Vayaduchus Lashonam Kashtam Sheker V'lo Lamuna Gavur Boretz Ki Meuro Roy Yatzov V'osi Lo Yadov Nam Hashem Yishmir Eil Yishameru V'lo Akoloch Al Tftachu. They couldn't trust anybody. Ki Chol Och Akov Yaakov V'chol Re'a Rachel Yaloch. Everyone was deceitful and dishonest and harmful to his fellow man. And man will fool his chaver. It's an interesting thing here. It says, Mirma manu dasa sinu mashem. What does it mean? Over here, it seems to be that the main pull is the desire to be crooked by Don Lachavero, the desire to have a license for deceit. And once you have Hashem in the right way, then that falls apart. You can't have that anymore. So it seems over here that the central motif is really the Benan Lachavero. Like Chazal say, Lolam Lohavdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah Lahatlam Gezel Varayas. So sometimes it starts from the other side, that the desire for corruption is really the essential desire. And because of corruption, so they have to forfeit God. They have to be Oziv HaShem. Sometimes it goes the other way. In Chazon, it starts off with Oziv HaShem. Over here, it starts off with the desire for corruption. Because that seems to be the emphasis of the Navi. So the corruption forces them, b'mirmo me'anu das osinom Hashem. So the mirmo, with the mirmo, they refuse to have Yedias Hashem, because Yedias Hashem will take away their ability to be Ramoyim. But the desire is for mirmo. Chet shochot l'shona, mirmo diber b'fiv, shalom asher yedaberu, Vakirbo Yasamarbo, he lies in wait for him. So you see that the essential thing over here in this Navi is the Bein Adam L'Chavero. The deterioration of the Bein Adam L'Chavero prevents him from reaching Hashem. It's the opposite, so he starts from the opposite side. But both of them are true. Both of them are true. Depends on the door, it depends on the people. Yeah. You mean material gain? It's material gain, it's egoistic gain, self-glorification. So it's all those elements of man. I mean, Plato says that people want material for glorification. That glorification is the main thing. But it's not, it doesn't have to always be that way. Most people are that way. So over here, it's a different motivation. It's a different motivation. It's interesting how the two Nevi'im really fit in very well together. You know, they fit in very well together.
The motivation here to...
More questions. Yes?
The motivation over here to try to be better than your father, to outdo the next, for the sake of the glorification, but you can't have glory without the applause of that other person.
Right. Right.
Which ones do you think is more true to that?
And which one's more corrupt?
Which one now that...
I think it's the second one. The corruption, yeah. Because they're raised in corruption. Corruption is the value. So that's the one that takes them over. You need a higher level for the other one. To be Ozev as Hashem means that you had to at some point have a Yedias Hashem. And then you're Ozev it for some reason. But over here, it's like just, they're just built into corruption. Yeah? No, there's no difference because, see, the Targum uses Ozvam as Hashem as Ozvam as Torasim. So it's the same thing.
And why in Kisoi Banim? So it only mentions really Avodah Zarah. In general, also, like in the Torah, it's usually Avodah Zarah. It only mentions Mishpat, like the Nevi'im.
Well, it mentions Mishpat a lot of times in Torah.
But not like for the.
Especially in Sefer Devarim. We're saying that it could start from either side.
That's a question of where it starts. But what's the... in the Torah, it's mentioned the galus is because of Avodah Zarah.
Right.
So is it just a question of Mishpat causes Avodah Zarah, or... But the... Yeah, what's going on again?
I mean, if there was a corrupt nation, if we were corrupt and we just wouldn't serve Avodah Zarah, then we wouldn't be thrown out. Chazal say that Dar HaMavo was because of they took one grape.
Right.
So you can't, I don't think you can answer questions like that.
Either one is...
It's not either one, they're always both tied together anyways.
Right.
I don't know if we can get a ratio. Okay. All right, so how does this go? Shavas. That's Paskenecha, Shavas Mesel Sivena. Nefcha Level Mecholena. And then the next Pasuk is Schiamos Simeni. He's taking the Tadahezer of Sukkim, right? What? Would reject the voters there as well. Right. Well, especially we're saying that if the justice has to be based on the Yisrael.
Right. I mean, there's no justice, otherwise that's
what it is. Otherwise no justice.
Mishpat and Tzedakah? Or is that his question? Is Mishpat going to be enough? Mandy, is that your question? Is Mishpat enough? Or do you need Chesed and Tzedakah?
Mishpat, by the definition, true Mishpat, everything else will emanate from that. Because it's then the Yiddish Hashem.
So
I assume that's why it's seen with Mishpat Tibadeh, because that's the building block, right?
So then why does nothing mention all three?
See, what is Avas Mishpat? You have to understand a little bit what Avas Mishpat is. Melech Alev Tzedakah Mishpat. So why is there an Ava for it? Most people look at justice as just something which is okay, and you know, you're not a bad guy, so you're just. But you don't look at it as something that's a lovable thing. What is the Avas Mishpat? What is this Ava? It would seem that mishpat is more than just a guilt thing. That I do mishpat because I'm guilty. I don't want to take for myself. I mean, it's wrong. It would seem there's an avas mishpat. That means that if a person loses a din Torah and he sees that he's wrong, he should be happy because he sees his mishpat as being administered. So what is this avas mishpat? In melech ohev tzedakah mishpat. God loves mishpat. Suppose me, he loves it. It's not simply something that has to be, you have to have in order to have a society. It's not just a means. It's more than a means. What? Yeah, Derech Hashem. So what is Derech Hashem? Why is there an Ava for Mishpat? That's good.
You see the universal law, you know, emanating wherever you look at the Bria.
Okay.
As that fulfills the Abba, he sees the order. We realize that that's an order. The man is certainly conscious.
That order is good, but you need another, a little more. See, there's a beauty in harmony. In a harmony. So you can argue justice is harmony. Justice is a kind of harmony because everything receives its place, what it deserves. So there's a harmony in the universe. When there's justice, there's a harmony in mankind, in the human life. So you have to be able to appreciate that harmony. But that harmony is based on what the person deserves and who the person is. That's why you need your DS. So you ask me what you need your DS Hashem for? Why don't you just go by the harmony? The harmony that every person is earning what he needs, he has what he needs, he has what he deserves. If he's more intelligent, so then he's entitled to more perhaps, or if he works harder, he's entitled to more. There's a certain harmony. But the answer is the harmony itself has to be determined by factors. So without the Tzelem Elokim, it's just an arbitrary choice. There's no real objective harmony. who says that a person that is more intelligent deserves more cover? It's not who says we value intelligence. It's just a genetic phenomenon. So in order to have the beauty of a harmony, you have to have the elements set up first. Then the harmony is the harmony that obtains to the thing, which it deserves, is part of the harmony of God, that God placed in the universe. Okay, just like this harmony. That's really the Avosa Shalom Bimroma, but we also show Malena. That the harmony that exists in the heavens should exist among us. But among us, the harmony can only be there if you recognize that the person is a Salam Alekim and how the harmony will come about. What it warrants to have the harmony. In order to know what warrants the harmony, you have to know the element, and the element is the Salam Alekim. So then there's a whole beauty which goes back to the Yedias Hashem. That's the harmony of justice. That's the harmony of justice. That's right. That's right. It's chesed as well. Tzedakah as well. Tzedakah, we one time said, tzedakah is a mishpat is man-made judgment. Bezdin implements mishpat. If I owe you money, so then I have to pay you. But tzedakah is where, by nature a person needs something. So there's a disharmony because of nature, not because of man's actions. Mishpat is setting right man's wrong actions, which creates disharmony. In tzedakah, what you're doing is you're setting right nature's misactions. This person doesn't deserve to suffer. So you have to do tzedakah. Tzedakah means we have to bring a harmony to the existence. That's the difference. That's the difference between mishpat and between tzedakah. But they're both the same with them. Melech Lech stuck on Mishpat.
What's Chesed?
Chesed is Ba'af L'Reicha G'mocha. That's Chesed. Chesed stems from Avas Reim. Ba'af L'Reicha G'mocha. That's the recognition of the Tzel Melekin. So even though the person may not be in need, and may not be a disharmony, but your Ava for him because of his station and what he reflects and what he represents in terms of Hashem causes you to go out of your way for him.
Chesed was never really criticized for that.
What?
Not really criticized for Chesed and the Navi.
Right.
Because it's a higher level.
Because it's beyond. Meaning not Nenesh.
Not a basic level.
Not Nenesh. Yeah. It's true. It's true. It's a higher level. Okay, so we need somebody to do a little kinnis here. We have to do a little kinnis. If you don't start now, we'll be here till 4 o'clock. Yeah. Schi umoros esimuni bedre chaverai. So what does that mean? The second line. Schi umoros esimuni bedre chaverai. That you made me disgusting, like filthy, garbage. What kind of a complaint is that?
When you fail, people laugh.
Yeah, okay, but it's more than just losing, because it seems to be schi umos. What's the definition? What's the translation of schi in Hebrew? That is Rashi translation. Schi. Something disgusting.
Scum.
That's right, spittle, right?
Scum.
Yeah, scum. Yeah, and I think schi is spittle, no? Am I right? You have a translation now? This is going on what? This is going on Gimel, Memhei, Schi Umos. They say filth.
Rashi.
Kichalaniya, yeah, it's spittle. Right, that's what it is, spittle. They want to use Lashon Nekiya, so they just say it's filth. But it's not filth, it's spittle. Spittle is something that's disgusting to a person. It's a disgusting thing. So that's what he's saying. Schiumos, that we've been made into something disgusting. What does that mean? I mean, what do we care? And in what way? In what way is that so? But it is an amazing thing. It is true that the Sonei Yisrael always rendered us something disgusting. Like the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they used to call the Jews swine. Inhumans. It's an interesting thing. Schiumos. They had to detach themselves from our humanity. They had to dehumanize us, make us into something that's disgusting and abhorrent, so that that reduced the guilt when they killed us.
Goebbels, this thing, they turned him into rats. Goebbels would sew Jews, you know, with the long nose.
Right.
And rats.
Rats.
He associated Jews with rats.
Right, rats. Sure. Right, vermin.
Vermin.
Yeah, that's true. That's schiumos. That's what it means. It wasn't enough that they destroyed us. They conquered us. They won the battle. So they have what they want. No, that's not enough. They have to make us into something inhuman, despicable, or non-worthy of existence. That's the kind of hatred it is. That's what the python pulls out. It's an amazing thing. How true it is. How true it is. But why is that, and how does that work? Well, it definitely allays their guilt, but where does it come from? I don't know if I know the full answer, but maybe we could just get a way of approaching it a little bit. Adara. Yes. Stops the purpose of the Jews. It's true. I mean, it's the opposite of the purpose of the Jews.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, how could they really treat us that way? I mean, I could understand there are nations that are like third world nations. So they live a very low life. So you could say that the way they live is disgusting. But the Jews never lived that way. The Jews always lived a very high life, clean, high, dressed nicely, merchants, successful, scholars. How could you take a nation like that and convert them into something disgusting? Doesn't seem an easy thing to do. How do they do that? How do they accomplish that?
Great.
Yeah. Okay, I think in general you're right, but in general your approach is right. See, I saw the second president of the United States was Adams, right? So he had a friend that was a Jew. So his last name was Noah, I think it was. So he wrote him a letter about how wonderful his people are and how he hopes that they thrive on the land and we need them and they're good and everything. In the meantime, in his personal life, he called this fellow the Jew. And then he wrote him privately, used to tell him, I wish you'd be like the rest of us. I wish you wouldn't be so different. You see, it's the differences. I mean, that goes back to the Megillah, who the Sayyam Shonos Mikolam. They think that they're different. They have a feeling about them, a sense of being different. So once they attach that arrogance to the Jew, then they say the Jew is selfish, he's a crook. He wants to take over the world, he wants to enslave the world, he doesn't identify with humanity. All those things, all those good attributes, which really should be turned into, which should express good, that he's really, he is elite, but his eliticism is really for the world. So when it goes wrong, that makes them into a, so they brand them as an evil doers, and they tie it to their traits. And one of their traits are that they are different. That the Jew is different, he feels different, he is different. And then they say he wants to, a universal conspiracy, wants to take over the world, wants to subdue man, he's evil. And once they start going on those things, then that's it. That's like the, like they told Noach HaSherosh, if a fly falls in the wine, they take it out. But if you touch the wine, then they throw it out. So they look for the differences to be a sign of evil superiority and aggression. And that's why they call them swine. It's not because of the way they live, because they live a very respectable life. But it's because of the differences. That President Adams, he expressed it perfectly. In public life, he wrote one way, that they deserve justice and they're welcome. But privately, he said, why can't you be like all of us? What is wrong with you? What is different about you? He said, bother them, disturb them. He said, Nixon also had the same thing. He wrote something, Danny Wolf one time showed me, something he wrote, just like Homer. Exactly. Even though he was dichotomized, of course, he had a respect for the Jews also. But he also had a fear of them, he can't go against them. Very strange. The difference of the Jew is always expressed in a way that he doesn't just lose, but he becomes something of an intolerable creature. One that must be done away with, and one that can't be tolerated. His existence can't be tolerated. That's schiumos. Schiumos to simeni beedrit chavera. So the schiumos is something unique. It's a unique feature. Unique destiny of the Jew.
Yeah.
That's a good question. That's why I would say that why should it always happen? I mean, if you live the correct life, then they'll appreciate you and they'll recognize your difference. Right. I mean, would they recognize us anyways? Or do you need the Ashgacha to intervene always? That's a good question. But the Pasuk seems to say, V'roch olam ha'yoresh k'shem Hashem nikro elecha v'yor b'mech. That should be a natural thing. That if you lived right, so then the nations would respect you. Yeah. That's correct. We what?
Their hatred stems from their own recognition that we have the right to their ideas.
Yeah, the jealousy is there, but to allow the jealousy to become generated into a mass slaughter, to a holocaust, I mean, that is a long distance. That's a long distance. massacres. That's right. That's right. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Right. Yeah. The arrogance. Makes sense, because you see many times the Jews that were really true, that the Goyim gave them tremendous recognition in history. Even a Amalek can do tshuva. Even a Amalek can do tshuva.
That's in love and darkness.
In love and God, yeah, that's right.
Love and darkness.
Right. It would seem that way. But one that way, it would seem that way. But the other way for sure, the other way for sure is the is that if you don't live the right way, that then without Hashgacha we're gone. We'd be totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. Because once we took it, once we took the Torah, you have a choice. Either you can go with it, and it's the biggest bracha, or if you don't, it leads to social situations which completely result in the worst anti-Semitism and the worst destruction. And you can't get away from it.
What about the problem that the Jews' existence interferes with the way he wants to live? So he's basically overturned his own life. He wants to shut that out. Isn't that,
what do you mean?
Isn't that a major cause of the desire to destroy the Jew?
What do you mean? I mean, there are people like that, it's true. There always will be people like that, but then there will be people who recognize the truth, who recognize that the Jews are Baal Chesed, who wants to help them. I mean, how did Avraham Avinu win over people? Even though it's true, he had to escape through an ace. But that was because of his father. There always are people like that. That would be against them, but you have the other side too. Which side is more powerful, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. It's pure conjecture. But you have the Hashgacha also. But the other way, without the Hashgacha, we'd be destroyed. We'd be destroyed. So that's the Schiyumos. That's the Schiyumos. The difference is what they're really doing is they're saying that they're moral swine or rats. Moral and ethical swine or rats. That's what they're saying. Saying the Jew is an evil, moral, corrupt, ethical person. That's what they're doing. Yeah. The what? What do you mean?
You're explaining what you're saying. What's the
kina? The kina is that we reach that level. The kinas are what is to us counterintuitive. And we can't believe that this could happen. The sadness. The sheer. Right. How could this be? How far away from the right place we are? By the way, I mean, this answers another question. Question is that under ordinary circumstances, people would give up already. Because they see that all these years, thousands of years, all the Onshin, the Chorban Abayas, Chorban Abayas Rishon, Abayas Sheni, Harugei Beitar, I mean, the Holocaust, the massacres, say give up already. It doesn't make any sense. It's just not working. You're going to keep on saying that next year is Hoshana Bonner, British Lion is dreaming. There's no indication of it. So why do we keep on going? The experiment has been made and the experiment has failed. Why don't we, what keeps us here? What keeps us here? See. But the answer is that what keeps us here is the fact that we have one, it's one thing in the, we got a, I may do a little later, we'll do a little Guinness. Okay? I'll come back to this point. I'll finish at this point. Yeah. That was the opening. They need an opening, yeah. Where is that? Yeah, Murray. Yeah, Patsu, yeah. Patsu Chazir, yeah, Yechasidero. Patsu, I say. That's right. 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 That's good. It's an interesting thing he says over here. Sarkosa Mishkan Mishos Devirai, the third line of Shavas, says, you have enveloped your heavenly tabernacle, that it not see my earthly temple. Sarkosa Mishkan, boy, go figure him out. Sarkosa Mishkan means the Mishkan means the, the Migdash and the Shemayim. Right. How does what? Yeah, I didn't know that's what it means. Did it have a note on it? Gimel Mem Dalad? Which one? Sarkosa Bafater Fenum?
Sarkosa Mishkan.
Where is it? It's where, which one is it?
Second
line
of the shop. Third
stanza. Next one.
Sarkosa Bonamon. Sarkosa, when that's something else. Me'avor Tfila. That means that there's a. That means that there's between there's a machitza that's mafsik between the tefillah and between God. But here he's saying something different. He's saying that the migdash, that the base of migdash baharetz is connected to the base of migdash of Hashemayim, and the base of migdash of Hashemayim was covered over, so it shouldn't see the migdash on the earth. So you're asking me, how does he know that's the proper interpretation? Does he have a footnote on it? Eicha 344 is not really it. I mean, it could be that it means nothing more than you covered over the barn on Lava or Tefillah. But why would I say you mean the Mishkan is the Tefillah? The Mishkan is Makom Tefillah. What?
The V-Ray.
The V-Ray is my Mikdash. You're right.
That's how they know us. And the reference to the severe with our Mishkan and the Shrine.
But the Rav Chazal that Rashi quotes also, that the Migdash in the Shemayim is connected to the Migdash Baretz. Right. So where did they get that from? Where did they get that idea from? What does it mean? There's a little temple up there. But the Pshat is like this. The Pshat is that the Mishkan, you see, they derive it probably from the Pesukim, because the Pesukim say, when Shlomo Melech was Magdash the Migdash, so he said, Vata Tishma Shemayim. Yata Tishma Shalayim. He never said Yata Tishma Babayas Hazar. Because he said that Hinei Yashmayim Vushmei Yashmayim Lechal Kalucha Vavke Abayas Hazar. So it's always in the Shemayim. So what does it mean? It means when the Migdash is operating according to the proper way, so then it's reflected in the Shemayim. Then it's reflected in the Shemayim. So there's, in other words, that there's a model for how Klal Yisrael should serve God, and that model is what's referred to as the Migdash Bashamayim. So whenever the two coincide, so then the Kadosh Baruch Hu answers. But if he covers that one, so to speak, it's a mashal, of course. Means that they're not in line with the real Mikdash. They don't deserve the real Mikdash. So the Mikdash B'Shamayim is the ideal Mikdash, the ideal way that the Jews should serve God in the, through the Mikdash. It's a very subtle service. Because you have to be careful not to be taken in by anything physical. And it has to be done in the way, in the proper expression of ideas. So that perfection of Avoda is the model of the Mikdash B'Shamayim. That's what it means, it's Keneged. It means that it's really a model of how the Mikdash B'Aretz should operate and should function. So when it says Sachosa, it means that there's a Mechitza between the two, he covered it over, so it means that they're off. There's no relationship between the real Avodah and the real Mikdash B'Shamayim and the Mikdash Al Eretz.
Why is it represented as Hashem's action? He didn't create the proper Mikdash B'Shamayim.
Because it depends on Hashem, because there's Midas HaRachamim. Sometimes he could be Mevater. But over here he wasn't. Because there's an allowance. So then, even though it's not exactly correct, but there still is no mechitza. Okay. All right, let's go further. Yeah. Was amazed. It's a hard question to answer. You're asking why people are corrupt. It's always easy to look back and reach back at somebody else's chataim. I mean, you say.
I mean, they really
a slow process, and you think, and your emotions get a hold of you, and you think, get away with it. How does, what's his name, Ponzi scheme, wasn't it?
Bernie Madoff.
How does Bernie Madoff go around knowing that it's just impossible? It's got to come out one day. People do things. People do strange things. Why man is corrupt is a hard question. Well, before, guys see it happening right in front of their eyes, and they don't, can't stop it.
How could it be?
How could the Navi say echo?
Yeah, why does the Navi know that?
Because that we answered that one time. Because the extent of the onesh is far beyond. That's Shabbos Nachum. The extent. Yeah, no, we don't deserve that extent. That's what I asked you before. How can we still stay if we don't deserve that extent? There's a Gemara in Gittin. You got a Gemara in Gittin here. Okay, I think it's one of the Kinnis. Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. I think it's one of the Kinnis with the blood boiling up from the Navi. What? Yeah. And Yehoi Mekayim Megashim Kayim here. Kayim is Chaya Ben Yayada HaKayim. That's the answer. What's the question? The question is in the same pasuk. Where is it? In your head. Yes, that's him. T'chal nashim pirim olay t'puchim. So how could that be the worst, the most unbelievable thing to imagine? And mi'arg v'migdashim kayim v'navi. That's the answer. That's why really I want to say echos like a dialogue. It's like a dialogue. Dialogue is how could this be, this horror, the greatest tragedy, beyond belief? There is an answer. In mi'arg v'migdashim kayim v'navi. But the Gemara says a strange Gemara. Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Rava and Amar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. Sachli zakein echad me'anshe Yerushalayim b'bikazu hargnu v'zardan Rav Tabachim Masayim v'yachas esre ribo. How much is that? Masayim v'yachas esre ribo. Ribo is 10,000. How much?
2 million.
Over 2 million. Yeah. 2 million, right? Yeah, 2 million. Because Rebo is 10,000, I saw Rebo is 100,000, and then 100 times that. So it's 2 million. So in this valley, he says that the Vuzarad and Rav Tabachim killed over 2 million Jews. Will be Yerushalayim Harag, Tishim V'Arba Ribo, 980,000. 11 Achas, on one stone. What? Oh. Hacheholach, Domon, V'Noga, B'Domo, Shel Zechaya. So the Dom, the blood from the valley, rose so high that it went to the Harabias, and then it touched the Dom of Zechaya. L'kayim ma'ashenem ar v'domim v'domim nago. That v'domim v'domim nago is a pasuk where is it a pasuk in Hosea? That it means over there, it means that there was such a rotschim, they killed so many people that the blood flowed up against each other. So, but that has nothing to do with this. The Gemara just uses this pasuk to show that the dam created a phenomenon. And this phenomenon was that the dam of these millions of people that were killed rose up above the pit and was nogeya, touched the dam of Zechaya. So Ashkechelid made the Zechaya, the Havakam Arasach. So he found the blood of Zechaya and other that it was bubbling, the Soak and up. going up and bubbling, hot and bubbling. Omar, son of Azarna, said, "My high, what's this?" Amrule, they said to him, "Dam zvachecha de shtapach." Dam zvachim de shtapach. It's a dam from Kabbonis that was poured on the ground. I see dummy, so he brought blood from the Kabbonis below Idmi, and the world didn't compare. Amalahu, he says, "Ziam ritzuli muta." If you're going to tell me the truth, good. The lahav, and if not, masrikna levasarecha b'misuki the parzel. So I'll tear your flesh with the prongs of iron.
Rakes of iron.
Amalei, my name, what can we tell you? Nevi'a hava b'bon, there was a Navi that was among us, to have a kamuchachlam b'mila d'shmaya, he used to reprimand us about heavenly matters, kaminin ilui v'katlina, right, we got up and we killed him. V'ho kamashnin lo kanai erdame, and it's many years now that his blood didn't stop, didn't rest. Omar Lahu, he said to them, I'm going to appease the dam. Aisu Sanhedrin Gedola v'Sanhedrin Ketana. So he brought the Sanhedrin Gedola v'Sanhedrin Ketana. Kotli Luya. He killed them all. V'lo Nach. Didn't rest. V'churim v'Sulos. He brought young men and young girls. Kotli Luya. Killed them. V'lo Nach. Didn't stop. Aisi Tinoka Shalbeis Rabban. Brought young children. Kotli Luya, killed them all, Volach, and it didn't rest. Amalei, so he said to him, Zachariah, Tovim Shebaheni Baratim, I killed already the best of them. Nichalach Davdinu Lakulu, do you want me to kill all of them? Kid Amalei Hachi, when he said that, Nach, so it rested. Bahi Shaita Hira Tshuva Bedaite, that moment he was Mahara Tshuva. Omar, Omai Mal Nefeshachas Kach, he said, if for one soul they deserve so much, I that killed so many people, how much more do I deserve death? So he went and he sent a star to tell him, like a will, a geyer, and he was Megayer. Tana, Namon ger toshavoya, Zardan ger tzedekoya. So he was a Ger Tzedek. The strangest story.
It seems like he converted out of fear anyway.
What?
Right.
So why does the Chazal tell us such a story? I mean, it's like a devastating story. It's just, it's brutal, it's bloody, it's ruthless. It's like the Holocaust. Millions of people. Could have even been as many, according to the count there. Why did Chazal tell us this story? And why should that happen? And why is Zechariah was such a rasha that that because he was killed he wanted so many people to die? Sanhedrin Gedola, Sanhedrin Ketana, Bechurim, Mesulos. Tinoka Shabbos Rabban. What are Chazal teaching us with this? So strangely enough, I think that, I mean, we have to know how to learn Chazal. We don't know how to learn Chazal. But I think in a way it's like Divrei Tanchumen. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I think that that's what it is. See, I'm not interested in the historicity of the case, because it could be the whole thing's a mashal. What would lend to the fact that it's a mashal is because it says, Zachli Zakein Echad Me'anshe Yerushalayim, that Bebikazu Harg Nevuzardan Rav Tabacha Masayim V'yachas. What do you mean, Zachli Zakein Echad? If that was a known fact, you wouldn't need the Zakein Echad. Okay? But I think what the Chazal are trying to teach us is certain ideas. You see, when they told them that there was a Navi amongst us that was Muchachlam B'mila D'Shmaya, and we got up and we killed him. So if you take a look in the Navi, which mentions a story, the story was that Zechariah ben Yehoyada helped out the Melech's father. And he helped out the Melech's father for many years. And then when he died, because he criticized the son, so the son decided to kill him. I don't have Navi in front of me here now. We don't have Navi, do we? Okay. So you have to take a look inside if I'm not exactly right. But what the Navi said was, Ein Hashem b'socheinu. He says, God is not with us anymore. Because what happened was that... I wish I had another year, I just don't remember. Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Divrei Yom Beis Chof Dalet. It says, Vayas Yehosh HaYosher Beni Hashem Kol Yimei Yehoyada HaKohen. Kol Yimei Yehoyada HaKohen. That was... Vayisalo nosh yoyoda nosh mishtayim vayola banim varas. Vayiach reichein hoyem lev yoash lachadesh is beis Hashem. Vayikpatz hazakonim valvim vayomulahem tzulor yudu vikipsum gosol kesef lachazik is beis olakechem midei shana b'shana. Atem tamaru ladover lo mir olavim. Vayikra melech li yoyoda. Madu lo durash tal olavim lovim yudu mishalayim. Smasas Moshe eved Hashem. I call these solo leaders. Guess I'll go on my shots before I point out. So when the Yom Melech Yavayasu or Necha Vayidu B'Shabes Hashem, so they raised the money at any rate with the help of Yehoyada. Vayismuchu Chol Asarim Vayishlichu Laron at Kalei. Okay, so they were successful, and Vayasu Kesef Lerov. Vayidneil Hamelech Vayayoda Losei Melechas Avadas Beis Hashem. Vayu Sokrim Chotzim Vacharashim Vachadish Beis Hashem. Vayasu also Amalacha Vatala Ruchal Amalacha Biyadam Vayamidu as Beis Alakim Amaskunta Vayamsu. Chalosan Bevil Fnei Melech Vayayoda Shor Kes Vayasechim Beis Hashem Kwei Shoris and etc. Beis Hashem Tamad Vayiskan Yoyoda. And Yoyoda got old Vayispa Vayamos Ben Meo Shloshim Shonu Vamasa 130. Vayik Baru Vir David and Amalachim Kiyasa Tova Vayisrael. In Molokin Uveso. Achre Mose Yoyoda Bo Sari Yehuda Vayishtach Vulamalach. So after Yoyoda died, the Sari Yehuda came and they bowed down to the Malach. Vayazu as Pesar Hashem Alakei Vosayim, Vayavdu as Hashem as Hatzabim, Vayi Ketzef al Yehuda, Yerushalayim Vashmasam Zos. So they, after Yoyoda died, so they went and they bowed down to the Melech. So when they bowed down to the Melech, so they deified him. And once they started to deify him, so they started bringing Avodah Zarah. Vayishlach b'hem neviim la'shiva mel Hashem, v'yiduvam v'lo hazinu. So the neviim were sent and they didn't listen. Ruach Elokim lofshu asachaya ben Yehoyada. So the Ruach HaKodesh inspired Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen, Vayamod me'alom, Vayomolam komar alakim, Lomotem over mitzvah Hashem v'los haslichu, Ki azavtem asar Hashem, Vayazov eschem. That's what he told them. Vayikshiru lo vayigmu evan b'mitzvah samelach, Vachasar b'es Hashem. V'lo zocha Yehoash HaMelech, HaChesed asher asa Yehoyada v'vimo. And Yehoash HaMelech didn't remember the chesed that Yehoyada, the father of the Navi, father of Zechariah, did with him all those years. By Yarog Esbeno, and he killed his son. Uchamoso, Omar, Yera Hashem v'Yidrash. When he died, he says, Yera Hashem v'Yidrash. So that was the story. That was the story. So, yeah. But he said an interesting thing, Zechariah. When he saw that they went off to Derech, and the king, because he became enthralled with his own glory and his own honor, he got into Avodah Zarah. So he said two things. He says, Azavtem es Hashem v'yazov eschem. That, in other words, Ashgacha is not here anymore. You can't count on the Ashgacha. So what Chazal is saying is basically like this. that the like the Sefer Chinuch says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything bad. He just isn't there. Like the Pasuk says, that was Pasuk in Devarim, that what? Say it again. Vanochi has to asapai again. So the Navi told him that God is gone from you. He's not with you anymore. So what the Chazal, I believe, are trying to say is that when there's no Ashgacha, there's no way to bring God back through violent actions. In other words, no matter, a person will say, okay, I'll kill so many and so many Jews so the Ashgacha will come back. Well, if it's not there, there's no limit because it simply isn't there. You see? Do you follow what I'm saying? So that's what Chazal is saying. Chazal are really saying divrei tachnunim, that how could it be that so many harugei beitar and the mikdash and so much suffering? But the answer is one thing. The answer is the Navi. The Navi says, "Atem azavtem es Hashem, and vayazov eschem." Once there's a ziva, once there's no more hashgacha, so you can't even if Nebuzaradan will say, "I'll kill 10 million," there's nothing to do with it. But it's an interesting thing. When did it stop? It stopped when he says, "You want me to kill everybody?" There's Ashkacha. The Ashkacha is that all of Klal Yisrael should not be destroyed. But once you go off the derech, and once the Ashkacha Hashem is gone, you can't bring him back by an ultimatum. By an ultimatum, no matter what that ultimatum is. Why that's so, we don't know. But that's the way it is. That's Midas Hashem.
The blood boiling. Wasn't
that
Hashgacha that the blood should boil?
Yeah.
So it wasn't just that there was no
Hashgacha,
there was
Hashgacha
that he should be very
strong. No? Hey, Nechanami. Well, that's what the Navi said before he died. Yerash
and Yidrash. So wasn't it
the
Hashgacha that it was...
I don't know,
so are you saying that
it was,
there's no
Hashgacha
that this guy came, or...?
No, I'm saying that there's no Hashgacha, that the Hashgacha was gone. Doesn't mean there's no Ashkacha in any form. The dam, there was Ashkacha that the dam should bubble up, so that they should do tshuva. That was Ashkacha. But there was no Ashkacha in terms of protecting them.
But in terms of killing them,
like Darish Dam, is that not Ashkacha? Yeah, but to avenge the blood from the children, from the generations later. That's not. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And why would Zechariah be such an achzar and never, and just allow them to kill everybody else? It doesn't make any sense. These people weren't even guilty for it. They were banim. So all Chazal are trying to show is one idea, that once Hashem is not there, the Ashkach is not there, you can't bring him back through an ultimatums of killing. It's an interesting thing. It's hard to understand from the Gemara from what his Kal Vachomer was. It says for one person, so many people would die, so Kal Vachomer me. But if he thought that he was really doing the right thing, that he stopped the dam, so why should he say that? He did the right thing. But the answer is he realized this. He realized that the only reason it stopped was because the Ashkacha is there in order to prevent Klal Yisrael from being destroyed. That Ashkacha is never gone. So he said, but he realized that if you go away from the Derech Hashem and the Ashkacha is removed, no matter how much tragedy occurs, it's not going to bring back the Ashkacha. The only way the Ashkacha can come back is through tshuva. So that's part of the answer of why we're still here. Because in spite of the tragedies and in spite of the onus, we know that it's because of the absence of the Ashkacha. And if we could retrieve the Ashkacha, so then it would be a totally different life. And that's the emuna we have. And that's what keeps us going from year to year. But that's what I believe the Gemara is telling you. Gemara is trying to show you midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, showing you midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that once the Ashkach is gone, that you can't bring it back with an ultimatum. And it's showing you also that no matter how bad a Russia a person is, he could always be chosen b'tshuva. That's the other side of it, midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was hard on the person who killed so many millions of people, but if he's chosen b'tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts him. So, whether I'm not, like I said, I'm not as interested in the historicity of the case. I don't know if it's a real case or if it's just a marshal to show you the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What? That's it, who accepted him as a ger. Right. That's right. That's right. And the Sech Nizak in Echad is, I think, the clue. Yeah. It's not a question. That's right.
What?
Of course, then it's just natural law. Right, right. But that's because the Ashkach is not there. No, it's not. It's that's what I'm saying. It's not. No. You can't say never. That's what I'm saying. We can't say exactly when Ashkacha works. It doesn't work. But we could say that the Hester Ponim is a major, but when there's Hester Ponim, no matter what happens, it's not going to bring it back.
I understand, but you see sometimes the disproportion of Onesh is not always in terms of the natural. I mean, no other nation has these kind of, millions and millions killed all the time.
Right, so what are you saying is Ashkacha that we should
all die?
So that's an Onesh? That's a fair Onesh? That's all? Well, yeah, but that's the whole problem. The problem is, how can millions of people die for one? But how could God allow a Nebuzar them to come? It's a natural law. That once the Hashem is not there, there's no Ashgaha. So now we're in a situation that we're left with from Sinai, which puts us in great jeopardy.
Other nations don't survive long enough to have this many tragedies.
That's true.
One tragedy takes them out.
That's true. That's true, that's true.
And that's why.
That Ashkach is there, that we shouldn't totally be destroyed. But ki lok sameis Hashem keflayim ochol chatozah.
And that's why it always happens to the Jews, because they don't survive.
That's right. Because the Ashkach is for them to survive. But that's the Olecha. How could it be? How is it possible? How could it be? Millions, so they killed one Navi, all right. So that's why millions and millions of Jews have to die? Doesn't make sense. It sounds like Azarius. But the answer is what the Navi said. Ein Hashem imachem. Vayazov eschem. Once it's Vayazov, then the situation that's left over from the natural law of being a Jew goes into effect. Was that the Bama? Meaning the story.
You still have the same question you're asking.
No, because I'm saying it's only a mashal. They bring out a mashal that this is possible. That's correct.
Right.
That's correct. Right.
But that system results in such terrible, what I would say, injustice, then it's next.
Yeah, but it's not the same as this. This story, not the same. Because there was a war, they didn't have to go to war, perhaps it was a military mistake. I mean, there are always different, on this, in this world, there are always different ways of viewing it. But here it's showing just an absolute brutality. Because it's just trying to show Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really trying to show an event. It's like Eve. The Eve Lahayavah Lanever Lamashal Haya. Why Eve Lahayavah Lanever? Because it wouldn't be possible, because there are too many things. There's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas HaRachman, that it wouldn't occur. But it could occur. It could occur if you just isolate this phenomenon. So that's why I say that it really is midas tanchuma. Kinas lamadal. It's an interesting thing. This is a little different than the Gemara. The Gemara says, and that's what really bothered me, that he's talking to Yeshaya. He said, what more do you want, Yeshaya? Over here it says, Ad nasan uzardon libo l'shamayim. So he wasn't talking to you. After that, he gave up on Zechariah. There was no say libo l'shamayim. So there he saw that the Ashkacha will not destroy Kol Yisrael totally. There's another thing here also. You see, when he came into the Migdash, he said, I'll stop the blood. So that was also a primitive thing. Like he's going to be the one who's going to stop the blood. He wanted to have that that power. So that was an onish because they brought Avodah Zorah into the Migdash, and through an Avodah Zorah act, he was killing them. Because he thought if he saw some mystical thing there, so if he could stop the dam, then it will be very good for him. So they're trying to show that also, that once you get into the hands of Avodah Zorah, you suffer the their justice. Again, I'm not saying that it happened. I'm saying that I think it's all a mashal. But the mashal is to show different midas HaKadosh Baruch. But the pid is better. Because in the pid, he turns to God. He doesn't turn to Yeshaya. We said in the end, he did tshuva that way. So the pid actually corroborates upshot. And it's mashmas a mashal too, because it says that the dam was like dam Yari Mitzrayim. I mean, that definitely would have been known. The dam all of Inim Kedam Yari Mitzrayim. I mean, it would have been known. It wouldn't need Sacht Lizak in Echad. So that's why I say it's a mashal and extremes of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you isolate the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Yes. That it could be that way. Could be that way. Because that's the logic of the thing. The whole logic of the thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Beinenu. And if he's not there, so then if he's Master Ponim, so then there's no way, then just natural law takes place. That's the logic of it. Doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen. Because, yeah, but not an onish like this. The onish. No, an onish Hashem is an onish that teaches us something. Eis Hashem, Yehov Hashem Yechol. Not an onish of total destruction. And
Esther Ponim is not an onish.
No. Esther Ponim is a different phenomenon.
It's the consequences
of nothing. Of Siluk Shekhinah, yeah. It's a different concept. Oh, well, that's the tragedy of no Mikdash.
Does that mean that defined as the man of Siluk Shekhinah
at his time? I don't know. I can't tell. It's hard to know what God does. Okay, so you want to do some more. But it's very interesting how the Piyut really changes it. We said that in the end, that's what he said. The Piyut actually does change it. Maybe our gear says not the right gear. Because that was the one thing that was bothering me, was that here he thought, if he thought he did the right thing, so why should he be chazav b'tshuva? But the answer is he gave up on it. It was only when he turned to Hashem that he saw the Ashkacha. Okay, so where are we at now? Well, we're not very good pizzas. Let's say a couple of piyutim, and then we'll say yeah, we'd see on, and that'll be it. That's fine. Well, now you see even the death of Zechariah ben Yehoyada.
What did they have?
What, who's Navi?
No, the Navi.
The Rambam tries to answer that in the Mara. I don't understand his answer. I think he says it has to do with them being involved in Torah at the time. I don't understand.
You see these stories, like he was saying Shema.
Right.
One of those was like Kiddush and they're involved in Mitzvah.
Right. Yeah. No, it's just natural law.
It's all different system.
All different system. Yes. Right. Right. That's true. That's true. That's true, not always. Yeah. We know very little of Mishpat Hashem. Certain things he could know. Right. That's right. That's true.
Who could be more just?
That's true. Right. So it is a yes, it's true. But the Jew has the free will to operate under the other law, under the law of the Hashgacha. But maybe come closer, I can't hear your question.
Okay. I think you got my question.
Sure.
That God created the natural law, so you said that.
That's right.
Under the natural law, I guess.
Right.
The Hashgacha was taken away from the Nishal, and that's a terrible thing, but like, could you say that it's I guess you'll have to say, is there a speak from God, what happened?
That's right. But that was the deal at Sinai. See, Sinai was a bris, that if you do make it, so then you make it triumphantly all the way. But if you don't, then because of Sinai, certain natural laws are going to come into effect. That's right. That's why they didn't want to take it. Because Sinai has a double-edged sword. In other words, if you follow it, so then you have the benefits, all the total benefits. But if you don't, because of Sinai, other people don't like us because we're different, and they degrade us, and they hate us, and they try to destroy us. So anti-Semitism came from Sinai. So it was a choice we had. If you didn't get something really great, or else you're going to have the residues of something that can cause a catastrophe. So we took that chance, we accepted Sinai. But in Sinai, there's a double-edged sword. Because if you lose the Hashgacha, so then there's a natural world out there that, unless you really can beat them naturally, you're stuck.
You're saying it's worse than being under the natural law.
It's worse than being under the natural law. Right, because of Sinai. But that was the choice. That's probably why Chazal said they were forced to do it, because they wouldn't do it on their own. Right.
So nobody here can opt out.
Can't get off. Can't get out of this one. Atem nitzav mayam kochan. Mishiyeshna po mishenavo. That's the thing. But that's probably why Chazal say that they had a force them. Probably doesn't mean literally, because the pasuk doesn't indicate that. But it means that given the choice, and the chance, the small chance of, you know, having the greatest life and missing it, and what happens if you miss it. Nobody would take that.